Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. The following sermon is part of the 10 Truths That Change Life series delivered by Dr. David Palmer in 2016. Here's Dr. Palmer.
One of the most popular courses at Kent State University is a science course called Seven Ideas That Shook the Universe. The course examines revolutionary scientific ideas that have fundamentally reshaped how people understand and think about the universe. My daughter Rachel took the course last semester. I found the whole idea intriguing, and it occurred to me that if we can identify breakthrough scientific ideas that have shaped our view of the universe, then certainly we can also identify revolutionary, transformative, biblical, theological ideas that have fundamentally shaped how we think about and approach life. So, along that line, we begin today a sermon series entitled 10 Truths That Change Life. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The first foundational truth of the Bible explodes forth in the beginning verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. And Genesis continues with a grand poetic account which declares that the whole universe is the intentional, purposeful creation of God, and that we, as human beings, are at the pinnacle of God's design as we have been created in God's image. You might think that ancient peoples generally would have thought something like this, but not exactly. In the ancient Near East, people had a variety of creation myths, stories that they told to account for the universe and the existence of human beings. The myths had a lot of different details, but a similar basic outlook. They envisioned the world as resulting from a chaotic battle between the gods, a giant conflict between cosmic powers, out of which the world emerged as a kind of unintended consequence. In the ancient Babylonian myth, for example, the earth is the body of a god who was slain in the conflict. Human beings were a further afterthought and were not considered to be in any sort of noble relationship with God. In the Babylonian myth, for example, the chief god finally created humans to be slaves to the gods in order to relieve some lesser gods of their duties. If you get past the mythological language, you can notice the close similarity between the basic outlook of these ancient myths and the way that many secular or atheistic people view the universe today. When people say that the universe is just the unintended result of the chaotic clash of cosmic forces and that human beings have no special place in the universe, they are voicing the same basic ideas as ancient Babylonians, just dressed up in modern language. What the Bible proclaims is radically different from this. Its message was revolutionary in the ancient world and continues to be transformative today. The Bible declares that the universe was intentionally created by God according to a good design and a grand purpose, with human beings being created in a special place. On the one hand, human beings are one with the rest of creation. They are created, says Genesis, out of the dust of the earth. But they are also created in the image of God. This declares an enormously important truth about who you are. If the ancient and modern myths are true, then you are nobody special. You are here by accident, just a random blob of protoplasm that is soon to be extinguished. The best you can do is to try to manipulate the world around you to survive as long as possible, and nothing you do has any real meaning. but the truth proclaimed in the opening words of the Bible changes everything. The idea that you are in the image of God declares that while you are a physical being, you have a spiritual nature, a kinship with God. This biblical picture of our human nature really makes sense out of what we in fact see. We can see that we are made, as the Bible says, out of material stuff, and so we have a commonality with the rest of creation. At the same time, we observe that we have a vast array of unique, higher spiritual qualities that set us apart, qualities that are all encapsulated in that statement that we are in the image of God. Like God, you can create. Now, animals can build things. Birds and squirrels build nests in the yard that always look rather much the same. But human beings have a very unique quality in that, like God, we can create new things. Moreover, we not only create functional things, we create art. We create purely for the sake of beauty. This makes no sense at all if human beings are simply material entities that are the chance result of mechanical forces, as many people want to insist today. If you are just a physical being that arose out of the dog-eat-dog struggle for survival, then you should have no interest at all in beauty for its own sake. And yet we marvel at flowers and snowflakes and sunsets, and we make paintings and music. This does make sense when we take hold of the biblical picture of creation. In the biblical account, we are in the image of God, a God who creates a marvelous world full of wonders. And when God beholds it, God sees that it is good. So we reflect the nature of God when we appreciate beauty and when we create beauty. Furthermore, like God, you are a moral agent. You understand good and evil. You can freely choose to do the good, and you can express authentic love, including the kind of radical, self-giving love for unrelated other people, such as we see in Jesus. This goes way beyond anything that we see in the animal world. There is, as the Bible says, something special, something higher about us. Or as the psalmist says, Lord, you have made us little less than God. As a part of our special nature, you also have the capacity to comprehend. You can understand the world. You ask questions. You can explore. You can reflect about our meaning and purpose. No other creatures on the planet sit around in discussion groups, or build universities, or write books, or ponder the meaning of existence. The more we think about it, the more it is clear that the picture in Genesis has it right. We are a part of creation, and at the same time, we have a profound array of spiritual qualities that give us a likeness, a connection with God. Of all those qualities, the highest and most special is our religious sense. We have an awareness of God, and we can enter a relationship with God and worship God. Scientists have observed that human beings seem to be hardwired for God. Virtually all ancient peoples everywhere were religious, and modern attempts to stamp out religion, from the Soviet Union to Communist China, were complete failures. Today, people in China are more religious than they were in 1949 when the Communists took over. As Paul said in the book of Acts, in God we live and move and have our being. In the practice of religion, people have sometimes struggled to rightly conceive of God, and so there have been distorted ideas about God from ancient Babylon to modern Islamists today. But what has been universal among human beings throughout the ages is the sense of transcendence, the awareness that that there is an ultimate reality beyond us, and that we will find our fulfillment when we come into an authentic connection with God. As St. Augustine put it, "You have created us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Here then is the number one truth. You have been created by God in the image of God. It is a truth not only proclaimed at the beginning of the Bible, but is a truth that finds its ultimate confirmation in the coming of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God become human, we have a powerful declaration of our kinship, our intended close connection with God, how we are children of God, meant to live in fellowship with God forever. Today, of course, people are often encouraged to ignore or deny this truth, and that results in many people struggling and missing the mark in life. But when you accept the truth that you are created by God in the image of God, it changes life in several key ways. First of all, it makes clear that you are a person of infinite value. You are not just a temporary creature that's randomly appeared in the universe. You are here because God made you, and you are of great worth in God's eyes. This also means that you have a purpose in life, a God-given destiny, to grow in a relationship with God and to live as a child of God. Many people struggle to find any sort of meaning in existence, but life has tremendous meaning when we understand ourselves to be a part of the eternal design of God. The conviction that we are created by God in the image of God also has an enormous impact on how we live in the world. If God is the creator of the universe, this means that the natural world is something to be treasured by us. And if we are in the image of God, this means that we need to take responsibility for the care of the world, which is exactly what God tells people to do at one key point in the creation story in the Bible. So we are moved to be good stewards of the earth. Finally, the truth of who we are, that we are each in the image of God, will have a profound impact on how we treat one another. On the Greek island of Samos, there is a monastery on a hill occupied by 15 nuns. They sustain themselves by selling embroidery and painted icons to visitors. But in recent months, the monastery has been overrun by refugees who have fled to the island and then scampered up the mountain to seek help at the monastery. When tourists arrive at the monastery and find the place beset with a mob of refugees with piles of luggage and trash all around, they often take one look and leave. This is not good for the embroidery business. But Sister Evniki, the monastery's mother superior, says that the nuns have no plans to change what they are doing, which is, they are offering hospitality to the refugees. They provide them with food and fresh water and allow them to rest. Why? Sister Evniki says, "We believe that in each person we see the face of Jesus Christ. We must help them." When we genuinely take hold of the truth that we are each created by God in the image of God, then we treat other people, all other people, as persons of sacred worth, and we reach out with compassion and care. Of all the truths that the Bible proclaims, the first one is the truth about why you are here. Many people will tell you that you are just here by accident and that your life finally adds up to nothing. But the Bible declares that you are here on purpose. You are a special creation of God, designed to grow in deep fellowship with God and to share in God's purposes for the whole world. When we take hold of that truth, we have the foundation for a life that makes sense, a life that has meaning, a life, finally, in which we can live as children of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, open our eyes to see in the wonder of the world around us a reflection of your majesty and your creative hand. You have made all things well, O Lord. We see your power and glory in the magnificence of the world that surrounds us each day, and you have created each one of us in your image. Lord, we give thanks that you have indeed raised us into life and that you call us into fellowship with you. Move us, O Lord, to recognize who we are as your children and to open ourselves then to how your Spirit would work in and through us, that, Lord, we might share with you in creating good things, in being instruments of your compassion and your love, in being a part of building a good world, in being persons who grow together in fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you, Lord, that in the church we can share together, growing in faith and reaching out in mission to the whole world. We do reach out to persons in our fellowship who are in times of particular need. We also would give you thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to reach out to people beyond our church fellowship, people who are in need in so many places. We pray that you would empower us as we seek to be in mission. And as we join together as a church, we lift up this week, especially the Clearview United Methodist Church in Akron. Guide us, Lord, as we today would seek indeed to live as your children, be people who care for your earth and who care for all humanity. Oh Lord, you have indeed brought into existence a marvelous universe. You have raised us up, given us a place of wonder at the pinnacle of all, to share in life with you, to be instruments, Lord, of your kind of compassion, your goodness, your care in our world. Lead us, Lord, as we would take hold of our place, as we open ourselves to the working of your grace, as we live as your children and lift to you the praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.